Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, Pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, you want us to live our faith not so much as a set of rules and practices, but as a relationship with you and with others. Keep our hearts in tune that we may express our love for you in our service to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know it, the man insisted, even though everyone in 16th century Switzerland would have known the Lord's Prayer. I don't know it, even though there would have been a ruckus around the church council room. Do you hear? He doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. I imagine him crossing his arms and maybe even stomping a foot to accentuate his claim that he doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. Well, the minute taker, and everyone knows how important the minute taker is, particularly at church council meetings, the minute taker conjectured that perhaps the man did not want to say the Lord's Prayer, because if he did, he would have to forgive the merchant who had recently cheated him, and he had no intention of doing that. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is part of the prayer we say when we meet together every time we have communion. It's a powerful line and one that we maybe haven't spent a lot of time thinking about, sandwiched as it is between asking for our daily bread and seeking to be rid of temptation. Our gospel reading today helps us to think about this idea of forgiveness. It gives us a chance to imagine what it is that God is saying to us. And I'm afraid the gospel reading today is not an easy read. As we heard following last week's reading about reconciliation within the church, Peter asks how often we need to forgive. I bet Peter felt that he had it in the bag. Do I forgive 7 times? How generous to forgive somebody the same offense 7 times in a row. And that it's a holy number to boot. Peter must have thought he had knocked it out of the park. Not so. Jesus responds with a confusing mathematical equation that maybe means 70 times 7 or maybe 77 times. But regardless, it's a lot more than Peter imagined. And then Jesus shares this parable. Now maybe Jesus thought after he shared this parable that that would be the final word. That that would have answered all of the questions that ever were about forgiveness. But I read a commentary this last week that labeled this story instead the most disbelieved parable in the Bible. And under the circumstances, maybe that's not a bad thing. This parable has been wielded as a weapon over people in abusive relationships, over those who are victimized and harassed. You have to forgive me, the bully taunts. Jesus says so. But that's not what Jesus says. At least, that's not all that Jesus says. Everything about our parable is an exaggeration. It is over the top. It is impossible. Take, for example, the 10,000 talents that the slave owes to the king. 1 talent was a measure of weight equal to about 130 pounds of silver. So when you do the math, the first slave owed the king more than $3.5 million. Or 60 million days of labor. So I typed that into a calculator the other day and came up with 164,000 years of labor without a day off. How is it that someone that doesn't even lay claim to his body can rack up a debt like this? And how is it that, number one, the king has this kind of money? And number two, loans it out to somebody. This parable uses hyperbole to make its point. And when we're working with difficult parables, it's a good practice. I often ask myself, what would we change in this parable if we could? And so let me ask you, what would you change in this parable if you could? I'm going to give you a minute just to think about it. What would you change if you could in this parable? Well, if it were up to me, I'd change the enslaved man's reaction to his fellow slave. I'd have him say something like, "Oh, I have been forgiven much, so I will gladly forgive you this smaller amount." He could sound a little holier than thou. Maybe even quote the Lord's Prayer. But I'd certainly remove the last line, "So my heavenly Father will also do to you, every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." All the major religions teach the necessity of forgiveness. And any counselor will tell you that holding on to past hurts can deeply affect our lives. Contrary to what we might think at the time, the lack of forgiveness actually punishes us rather than the offender. But for Jesus, forgiveness is not about a mental health strategy. Instead, it's a way of life. It's about living according to a different economy, about restoring right relationship and treating each other the way we know we are called to behave. Forgiveness isn't something you do to get to heaven. It's not something you do to avoid punishment. It's not even something you count. Rather, it's about who we're called. It is who we are called to be. It's a releasing and a letting go in order to establish or re-establish right relationship. Now, forgiveness is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Notice that the bad behavior is not forgotten in our story. That enslaved man is not now given unfettered access to the king's storeroom. Jesus is not asking us to be doormats. Taking steps to discontinue perilous or damaging relationships is entirely consistent with forgiveness. And you can tell the bullies I said so. Through our passage this morning, we are invited to participate in God's economy, and we're shown a window into this system of win-win, which is so different from society's understanding of life as win-lose. The gospel helps us to think about forgiveness when we need it, when we give it, and when we hold on to it, holding it back. This is uncomfortable work, but it is important to sit in the complexity of what Jesus is inviting us into. Sometimes we're resistant to forgiving others, not because we think they don't deserve it, but sometimes I think we think we don't deserve it. This morning we're reminded that our lives and the lives of those with whom we are in relationship are intertwined. That it's actually not possible to separate out God's forgiveness of us with our forgiveness of others. Forgiveness is freedom, the kind of freedom that God wants for every one of God's children. Today we're invited to wonder what motivates someone who is apparently without mercy to forgive. And what motivates someone who has been shown mercy not to forgive? Do we see ourselves in either of these questions? Do we need the passage's reminder to make some changes in our own relationships, in our own lives, to be part of God's economy of grace? If we pattern our lives after the one who taught us to live, we see that forgiveness is a deep reservoir that need never run dry. May we who have received much practice offering even small amounts to one another. May we learn, as Peter has, that forgiveness is like love. It cannot be counted. Amen.